that we show right before that video that we show right before the preaching begins, it makes a comment where it talks about your Project 10. So you see, everybody who is in our church at First Love has something called a Project 10. A Project 10 is where you have 10 people who you are actively working on, texting, maybe calling, inviting them to church. So like when you are coming to church, you shouldn't come to church alone. You should have someone, at least one or two people. Maybe you don't have 10, but you have one or two people who you are inviting. So, you know, if you're a graduate and you're graduating, invite someone to church to come in and come and celebrate you. As we're celebrating you, invite one of your friends or family members to also come and join in on the celebration. Amen. So at this time, we're going to go ahead and have a quick word of prayer before we jump into the service. So let's bow our heads, close our eyes, please. Father, we thank you for this time in your presence. Lord, we thank you. We give you thanks for another Sunday. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you've kept us, Lord. You've kept us from Sunday to Sunday, Lord. I pray that you will continue to keep us moving forward. Continue to give us an opportunity to be blessed. Continue to give us an opportunity to hear your word Sunday after Sunday, God. Help us to become different. Help us not to stay the same, God. Lord, your word says that be not just hearers of the word, but also be doers. Lord, as we are hearing your word week after week, as we come to center meeting, as we come to Sunday service, help us to actually become doers of the things we are hearing. God, help to change our hearts, help to change our minds, help to change our behaviors, God. I'm praying, God, that you will truly direct our steps, Lord, as every day we are making plans, we are taking decisions, God. Order our footsteps on the right decision, on the right plan to have, God. Don't let us lead astray. God, keep us on the right path. Remember our efforts, Lord. Remember our efforts in coming to church. Remember our efforts in coming to Sunday service. Remember our efforts in working for you. Lord, I pray that you will show us mercy, God. Show us mercy, God, as we are coming to church, as we have taken a decision, God, to get closer to you. I pray, Lord, that you will show us mercy for our lives and for our souls. Lord, I pray this afternoon that as I'm coming to share, God, speak through me, Lord. Help me to say one thing that will bless somebody. Help me to say one thing that will change someone's week, that will help someone with a current problem, God. Help me say something that will address a current problem. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. Wonderful. So you see, the past couple of weeks, we've been teaching and preaching and learning and discussing, you know, the topic of determinants for your lives. We've been talking about what are the determinants for your life. And it's actually from a book by our bishop, the founder of our church, Bishop Dag Heward Mills, called The Determinants. And he goes in that book, he lists about six different things that are determinants for all of our lives. So, you know, the Bible says in Proverbs that man makes plans in his heart, but it is the Lord who orders his steps. And you see, as God is ordering our steps, what is going to determine his ability to effectively order our steps is how well we allow and how well we use these determinants. So the six determinants, for those of you who don't know, are speed, strength, wisdom, understanding, skill, and time, and then chance. Yeah, those are the determinants in our life. If you read in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11, the Bible says, I returned and saw, I returned. So you see, the book of Ecclesiastes was written by a man named Solomon. And this was him saying that he's died and come back, or he's come back to earth, you see. And he's saying, I returned and saw under the sun. So this is after he's lived a long life. So maybe for those of you who may be interested, those of you who know who Solomon is, Solomon wrote three books in the Bible. He wrote Proverbs. That's a famous book, I'm sure we all know. He wrote Song of Solomon, and then he wrote the book Ecclesiastes. And people actually believe that when Solomon, that the three books represent the three different phases of his life. So when you read Song of Solomon, Song of Solomon is very nice. It's romantic. Solomon was in love. He was talking about his different wives. He was very expressive there. If you read the book of Proverbs, Proverbs is also called the book of wisdom in the Bible. That was at a point in his life where he was in the middle of his life. So he had learned a lot of wisdom, and he was saying things that he had learned. He hadn't learned them in Song of Solomon yet. And then in Ecclesiastes, which is the book, which is the chapter that chapter 9, verse 11 comes from. In Ecclesiastes, it was at the end of his life in Ecclesiastes. And at the end of his life, he had realized that, I mean, he was saying a lot of maybe depressive things about the realities of life and about the realities of living in this world. So Ecclesiastes 9, verse 11, Solomon says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Solomon was telling us here in Ecclesiastes that time and chance were going to happen to all of us. And the way we can control the time and chance is through these determinants. Yeah, last week, and over the past 2 weeks, but last week we focused on the speed determinant, right? We talked about what does it mean to have speed? Yeah, how many of you were blessed by that message? So you see, you have to believe that when you come to church and you find yourself here in this particular church on a Sunday, because there are so many churches you could join. There's even churches you can go to and you don't even have to be on video. You can just watch a YouTube stream. So the fact that God has you here, you have to believe that there's a reason why you're hearing this message. And this message that's coming is actually for you. Like God wants you to hear a message on the determinants, not a message on something else, but this is what you actually need in your life. So last week we talked about speed. I gave three ways to recognize a door. For those of you who took notes, but I'm just giving a recap. Three ways to recognize a door. The first way was you recognize a door by recognizing an opportunity that comes in the midst of unworkable options. Yeah, see, speed determines your ability to see a door and step through it. Yeah, many people can see something, but because of maybe their mind, because they think they analyze every solution, and not only do they analyze, but unfortunately, they analyze the negative ones, and they focus on the negative and the fear, and they focus on that, and it keeps them from being able to step through a door. The first way to recognize a door is by recognizing an opportunity that comes in the midst of unworkable options. Like the other things around you are unworkable. The other solutions around you are unworkable, but this is a door that opens around that. Second way to recognize a door is to discern that an opportunity would not always be there. Wow. Yeah, so just to discern that an opportunity would not always be there. I think this is the most important one. Yeah, there are many opportunities that won't always be there. There's an opportunity in life to do something at this particular time. Yeah, you may be given an opportunity to serve God now or to do something for God now. Or you may be given an opportunity to maybe have a certain job now or to maybe go to a certain school now. And when you don't take advantage of that, it will not always be there. Amen. And then the last way to recognize a door is to recognize that God engineered the opportunity. And that it had nothing to do with your efforts. Yeah, God engineered the opportunity. Many of us, we don't actually give credit to God. When we accomplish something, when we see ourselves getting to a next level, we only think it's us. Maybe we even say, oh, glory be to God. Or we say God, but in our hearts, we think it was us. We think it was our own efforts. Yeah, like as today we're celebrating graduates, we're having a graduation service. You know, many of the graduates, they worked hard to graduate. They studied in the night. They had to go pass exams. Maybe they failed exams and had to retake. They worked hard to get to a point where now they're being celebrated for graduating. But they shouldn't link their graduating to their hard work. Yeah, and that's why you see being a Christian, that's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, that to be a Christian, you must transform your mind or you must renew your mind, because the basic understanding is that, oh, if I'm graduating, it's because of my hard work and all the effort I put in. But no, as a Christian, you must know that it's actually God who allows you to work hard. Like many people don't actually work hard, but if you are someone who works hard, you must know that it's God who allows you to work hard. Amen. So that was last week. We talked about speed. We talked about what speed determines in your life, right? Speed determines if you will build anything. Speed determines if you'll be saved. Speed determines your ability to avoid financial disasters. Speed determines if you will be blessed. Amen. So today we're moving on to the second determinant, right? We're moving on to the determinant called strength. Yeah, so your strength is also a determinant. So the title of today's message is strength, or I'll also give you another title in a few moments. But for now, you can write down strength, those of you taking notes. But yeah, strength is the determinant, the second determinant in the Bible. So what do we need strength for as Christians? Yeah, what do we need strength for? Many people might think you need strength to overcome sadness or difficult situations, which is all true. You need strength to overcome challenges, difficult situations, problems in life. You need strength for all of that. But as Christians, as born again, Bible believing Christians, what we need strength for the most as Christians here in this world is we need strength to overcome the world. Yeah, we need strength to actually overcome the world. And so the other title you can give to today's message is How to Overcome the World. Yeah, you can actually title it How to Overcome the World. So what is the world? What is this world that we're living in, or what is the world? The world is not just the earth we live in, but it is actually a system and customs that are in the world. That's what we need to overcome, is the system and the customs that are in the world that don't go against, that actually go against what it means to be a Christian, that actually go against everything we are supposed to believe in. It is the world that we must overcome. If you read the Greek word for the world, world is cosmos. Now, the definition of the word cosmos means the ungodly multitude, the whole mass of men alienated from God. Wow, that's what the world means, the Greek word. It means the ungodly multitude, the whole mass of men alienated from God, and therefore hostile to the cause of Christ. Wow. Yeah, so if you are in the world, and that's why the Bible says that no one can be friends with the world and be a friend of God. Like, you cannot be both. Like, if you are a friend of the world, then you are an enemy of God. Because to be in the world is to be a part of an ungodly multitude. It is to be part of a whole mass of men alienated from God, or to be hostile to the cause of Christ. Like, if you are in the world, that means you are against the cause of Christ. And what is the cause of Christ? The cause of Christ is getting more people to be saved. And if you are in the world, that means that you don't truly believe it, or you are against it subtly. So maybe you're not outwardly against it, but because you're not for it, because you don't have a hand in the work, because you don't have a hand in the efforts, you are actually against it. Amen. 1 John 2:16. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16. The Bible says, for everything in the world, the lust of flesh. So these are the things in the world. And you see, these are the things that many Christians struggle with. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. Yeah, the lust of the flesh, you may think the lust of the flesh is just maybe, you might think it's maybe just sex or temptation into sexual sin. But you see, the lust of the flesh isn't just linked to that. The lust of the flesh is also your temptation to sleep, your temptation to just eat, your temptation not to pray, your temptation not to read your Bible, your temptation not to listen to messages. You know, we have a podcast for this church, and we also have a podcast in our church. Our founder, Bishop Dakira Mills, has a podcast. And you see, many people don't listen to our podcast, unfortunately. But you see, you should. You should re-listen to these messages. If last week's message blessed you, we have a podcast. You can go and listen to it again. Because you see, it's a temptation of the flesh just to come to church on Sunday, check your box, Monday to Saturday. You don't do anything involving God. You don't pray. You don't read your Bible. You don't read any Christian books. You don't listen to messages. I mean, honestly, I think listening to messages is the easiest way to interact with God during the week. Honestly, it takes the least amount of effort. It takes the least amount of work. All you have to do is press play, and you can move around. You can be doing other things. To read your Bible, to read a book, to pray, all of those things require some form of sitting down or positioning it requires some effort. But listening to a message should be something we all can do during the week. None of us should be able to say that my message I'm preaching right now is the only message you will hear all week until next Sunday. I mean, it shows something. It shows that maybe you haven't developed beyond being a baby Christian. Yeah, you should listen to a message. At least everyone should aim to listen to one message a day, to just put on one message a day. Sometimes, me personally, that's my personal goal, one message a day. So sometimes when I find a message and I see it's only maybe 45 minutes, I'm like, wow, I'm blessed. 45 minutes, I can put on the message. I can play it as I'm doing other things. And I'm just listening to it. And you see that you become blessed. Listening to a message, let me give you a secret. Listening to the same message again and again is how you actually become changed. Because you see, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing. So you're actually not going to become changed really by reading or by studying the Bible or praying a lot. What is going to change you is listening to messages. I once heard our Bishop Dag Hurren Mills, I was listening to a message, and he said, if you give him two guys, one guy who prays a lot and one guy who listens to a lot of messages, and he has to choose, he'll pick the guy who listens to a lot of messages. Because something will go into him. Like, he will actually change by all means. It's not the prayer that will change the person. It is actually the listening. Because the Bible explicitly tells us that your faith comes by hearing. Yeah, not by praying, not by reading, but actually by hearing. But that one is just by the way. So for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes. Yeah, the lust of the, like, it's like you like what you see. You always have things you want. When you are falling into the lust of the eyes. And then lastly, the pride of life. Yeah, the pride of life is what makes you so focused on this earth, makes you so focused on pushing yourself to have a certain title, to have a certain career, to have a certain stamp on you. It's like you are that is your main focus while you are here. Yeah, but you see, all of these titles, all the things that we're trying to achieve, all the things we're trying to aspire to grab, it stays here on earth. Yeah, unfortunately, all the things that we're working for, don't get me wrong. If you're in school, you have aspirations. Everyone should have aspirations. There's a place for that. Yeah, but the unfortunate truth is, or maybe it's even the fortunate truth, but the truth is that all of those things stay here. I have a friend who is trying to get into medical school. And she was telling me recently that, you know, all this effort I'm doing, all this studying I'm doing, just to die someday and go to heaven. It's like everything that she's putting in, all the sweat, all the effort that she's putting in to become a doctor, someday she'll leave it here. And when she gets to heaven, no one is going to ask her, oh, doctor this, or ask her about med school, or ask her about being a doctor. That's not what she'll be judged on. Yeah, so you have to also balance it and remember that everything has a place. But the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. So obviously all these things come from the world. And as Christians, we have to be able to separate ourselves from the world. And one of the things we need to be able to pull ourselves away from these things is strength. Yeah, what we need to pull ourselves away from these things is actually strength. If you read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. So you see, the God of this world and the person who's actually responsible for this world is Satan. And Satan plays a big role. So that's why it's important to pray. That's why I said it with everything balanced. I'm not saying just listen to messages and don't pray. But with everything, you have to balance it. Because you see, the God of this world is Satan. So the only way that you are going to allow God to intervene, the only way you are going to allow God to make a move in your life is through your prayer. Yeah, so the Bible says here that the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Notice how the G in God here is lowercase. That means we're not talking about God in heaven. But it says that the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. Amen. So you see the difference, right? When we're talking about the devil, who is the God of this age, he's blinded the minds of many people. Many people don't have the ability to even hear what is being said right now. They don't have the ability to even hear this preaching that's coming because their minds have been blinded. Yeah, they cannot see the light of the gospel. That's what the Bible says. They actually cannot see it. They can't see that something is coming. Yeah. So I want to encourage us to also pray. As you are listening to your messages, pray. That's why I said, don't just listen to one thing. Do it all, right? Pray as well. Pray and ask God to intervene. The God of this world, pray that he doesn't blind your mind. Yeah, pray about it. And then lastly, Revelations 2:9. Next verse, actually. 12:9, sorry. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who led the whole world astray. Yeah, he led the whole world astray. The whole world has been led astray from Christ. How many of us see that the whole world has been, like, it's not common to be a Christian today. It's not common to say that you are going to actually be a Christian, a proper Christian. It's not common. It actually feels like it is, like you are weird or you are abnormal when you don't want to do certain things. And you feel some sense of pressure. Yeah, you feel some sense of pressure to conform. Or you feel some sense of pressure to actually do the things of the world. You actually feel a sense of pressure to become like the people in the world, or maybe not all the way like them, but 50-50, or you do 30-70, or you balance it. Like, you like, it's like maybe on the weekend, maybe just on Saturdays, I can do a little of this as long as it's not too, I mean, you are like, it's like you're strategizing how you can still be a Christian and be in the world. But you see, the Bible says in James that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So you see, anybody who is not all the way sold for Christ, or not all the way in being a Christian, anybody who is still half foot in the world, all the way in Christ, or half foot, I mean, it's like when we see you, it's like you're in two different places at the same time. Anybody who is like that typically is very unstable in all other areas of their life. Finances, school, work, relationships, everyone. I mean, when you meet someone like that, you must know immediately that this person is actually very unstable. That's why, ladies, when you meet a guy who seems to be double-minded, or he seems like he's not so sure, he seems like he's one foot here, one foot there, you should know that there's other things. Like, his instability or his double-mindedness doesn't just stop with God. No, it actually begins there. That's actually the beginning point of his instability and his double mind is there. And then it's going to go to his finances. It's going to go to his temper. It's going to go to his anger. I mean, it's going to go and go and go. Yeah. So when you see that when you meet somebody who is unstable, when you meet somebody who isn't firmly rooted in Christ, you should know that there are things behind them, and there are other areas of their life which are greatly being affected. Amen. So how do we overcome the world? Or how do we overcome some of these pressures of the world? You see, how do we overcome the pressures to be double-minded? How do we overcome that? 1 John 5:4. Romans 12:2, please. Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you see, I like how the Bible words it as renewing, because it is saying that it is a continuing thing. You have to continuously renew your mind. You don't just renew your mind once. If you had to renew your mind yesterday not to go out and go do certain things, next week, Saturday, you may also have to renew your mind. It doesn't just stop yesterday. It continues. It continues and continues and continues. You have to continuously renew your mind. You have to be transformed, as the Bible says. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Yeah, you won't be able to approve God's will in your life until your mind is renewed. Yeah, until you're able to pass some tests. Yeah, there are some tests you must pass. Some of us, every time we are tested by God, we fail. Mercy. Every time God tests us, it's like we fail. When God comes and tests us, we fail. When God tests us, we fail. Yeah, but you see, every single time, the Bible says that God will not test you more than you can handle. Like, if you are tested by some, or the Bible also says that God will not give us a test, but not also provide us a way out. Yeah, when we are tested, God will give us a way out. If you are tested by someone, God will give you a way out. If someone is tempting you, God will show you what to do. Will you listen, though? That's the problem. The problem is, will you listen? When that boy or when that girl is tempting you and you need to have a way out and you actually know what to do. Yeah, see, that's the truth. I think many, many times we don't acknowledge. Many times we know what to do. Many times we know I shouldn't do this. I should rather do this. Many times we know, but we don't listen. We put aside what is the right thing to do. We know we shouldn't text this person back. We know we shouldn't get in the car and drive here, but we do it anyway. And that is what the Bible is saying here. But you will then be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Amen. God's will for your life is good, it's pleasing, and it's perfect. Amen. So how do we overcome the world? How do we overcome the world? The first way to overcome this world is be faithful. Yeah, be faithful. As a Christian, be faithful. If you've taken a decision to be a proper born-again Christian, be someone who is faithful. Let us count you faithful. Faithful as in you come to center meeting on Wednesday nights. You come to church on Sunday. You are someone who has a desire to get closer to Christ. You have a desire to be around fellow Christians. Yeah, don't think you can be a Christian and be alone. The Bible says, woe unto you who are alone. Don't think you can be a Christian and just be someone who's by yourself, always in your corner. No, if you're a Christian, like being around other people. Yeah, enjoy the company of other believers. Enjoy the company. And see, that's why God, by God's grace and God willing, you know, we've actually just been given the approval and the thumbs up starting this fall to actually meet in person. So you see, by God's grace, we'll have an opportunity to meet in person, to interact. Church is not just going to be something where we come on Zoom, press the leave button, and you are back to your bed, or back to doing what you were doing. It's like you're done. No, when we come to church in person, we are there. It's like we are hanging out. After church, we are around. There's no rush. Yeah, there's no rush. That's not how we do church in our church. There's no rush after service, you see. But the first way is to be faithful. 1 John 5:4. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 4. The Bible says, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. Yeah, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. Anyone who is born of God, anyone who is properly born of God can overcome the world. A young man who is born of God can overcome the world. A young woman, young girl who is born of God can overcome the world. A student can overcome the world. Someone who used to be deep in sin, once they become born of God, they can also overcome the world. Yeah, the key to overcoming the world, the first key is truly faithfulness. This verse is very clear that for anyone who is properly born of God, you will overcome the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Amen. So by being faithful, by being a proper born-again Christian, by at least attempting to be a proper born-again Christian, many of us, we only attempt to be born again on Sunday morning. Mercy. But you have to attempt to be born again every day. It doesn't just stop on Sunday morning. Amen. Revelation 17 and verse 4. Revelation 17 and verse 4. Revelation 17 and verse 4. The Bible says there, I believe we're being blessed with today's message. I want to encourage us that, you know, as we are hearing the message, you know, and as we are taking notes, and as we are actually hearing it right now, everything I'm seeing may not get in. So I want to really encourage us and point us to the direction of the podcast. You know, re-listen to the messages again. As you are coming to church Sunday after Sunday, re-listen to the messages and you will be blessed. Amen. So Revelation 17 verse 4, if we don't have it, I can read it. Revelation 17 and verse 4, the Bible says there, the woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold, precious stones and pearls. She held a golden cup in her hand filled with abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. Yeah, the filth of her adultery. But she came in to be saved. If you read verse 3, this is a woman. This is talking about a woman who was deep in sin. A woman who was deep in sin. And she came holding the cup of her adulteries. Yeah, she came holding the cup of her adulteries. And if you read in Luke, Jesus tells a parable, or I'm sorry, it's actually not a parable. That's something that took place. The disciples found a woman in the act of adultery. Like, they actually found her committing adultery in the act, you see. And when they found her, the disciples brought her to Jesus and asked Jesus that normally when someone has been caught committing adultery, you stone them to death. That is the law. And Jesus forgave her. Yeah, she was brought and she asked for mercy. She asked to be found faithful and Jesus forgave her. So I'm telling you today that if you are someone who is deep in a certain sin, or you keep doing the same sin over and over, and you yourself know you want to stop, the way to stop, number one, is to go and ask for mercy. Go and ask for forgiveness. You see, go and pray and ask for forgiveness. Whatever sin that keeps coming around again and again. Yeah, many of us have sins like that. Yeah, how many of us have something like that? That seems like it comes around again and again. Yeah, like you pray, you ask for forgiveness, and you do it again. You pray, you ask for forgiveness, you do it again. It keeps coming back and back and back. The way to overcome that thing is by praying. By praying about it. Paul said, the apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, Paul said that I have a thorn in the flesh. Yeah, sometimes certain sins feel like it's a thorn in the flesh. Mercy. It feels like it won't leave you. It won't leave you. It's there. And the way to overcome that is praying for forgiveness and praying about it again and again. Keep praying about it. Whatever is that thorn, keep praying about it. When you do it the next time, pray about it again. And gradually you see that thing will become removed from your life. If you are someone who maybe you struggle with masturbation and pornography, for example, that's something that you don't just pray about it once and it disappears. It's a gradual thing. It's a gradual process of it disappearing. Yeah, our prophet, Bishop Dag Hewer-Mills, he speaks about that. Yeah, he says all the time that that's something that gradually goes away. It's a thorn in the flesh, but it can gradually go away. Amen. So the second reason, or the second way to overcome the world, deny worldly lust. Titus 2, verse 12, please. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. It says, deny worldly lust. That's the next way to overcome the world. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions. Yeah, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. That's even, I remember the first time I read this verse, it felt like unrealistic. Yeah, it felt like, I mean, how can I live a self-controlled life? Because there are some things that are difficult to say no to. There are some things that are hard to say no to. Like, there are some things that when they come, you want to do them again, or you want to keep going back. But it is possible as a Christian to be someone who can say no to ungodliness. And I want to encourage you that the way to overcome ungodliness, don't set unrealistic targets. Yeah, that's how, if you want to overcome ungodliness, if you want to become someone who can say no, or become someone who can be self-controlled. Yeah, the way to be self-controlled, the way to be godly is don't set unrealistic targets. Be realistic. Be realistic to yourself. Tell yourself the number of times you can do something and gradually it'll dry out. Tell yourself that this thing, I can't do it anymore. There are some things that have to stop right away. And there are some things that you can give gradual targets to. Yeah, there are some, and you see, first, let's maybe take an example. Something like going out with your friends and maybe going out with your friends and maybe getting drunk. It's like this is your problem. It happens often, like it's something you do often, and it's something that you would like to stop. You see, it's a worldly passion, right? You would like to stop. How do you stop something like that? The way to stop something like that is pulling yourself gradually away from those friends. Yeah, you have to separate yourself from those people because those people are what is linking you there. Those people. So you have to actually stop yourself from being around certain people, certain conversations, certain environment. And that's hard. Yeah, I'm not going to stand here and say that this is that like that's easy. That's a hard thing to do, but it's a gradual thing. Gradually, you say no. You don't want to go to this thing. Gradually, they're inviting you. You deny it. Gradually, they're asking you, "Oh, Patricia, do you want to come out tonight?" And you find some excuse, and you say, "No, I don't. I can't make it tonight." And you find some excuse. I have to do this. I have to do that. And you don't make it. Gradually, as you keep saying no, as you keep now going around. And then also show them that you are changing. That's a big one. Show them that you are becoming a more serious Christian. Show them that you are, when they, on Sundays, tell them you are going to church. Invite them. I mean, show them where you are going in your life. If they are really your friends, they will come with you. Or they will respect the decision you're taking enough not to pressure you in certain things. But you have to show them. Yeah, I'm saying something to someone this afternoon. This is actually how to overcome ungodliness, is to show your friends that you are a Christian. Many times, ungodliness is linked to our friends or the people we're around. And the way to overcome that is by showing them that I'm different, I'm changing. And when they don't respect it, that should even give you more courage and boldness to cut them off, to pull them away completely. The next way to overcome the world, James 4:4. As we move quickly, we have to celebrate our graduates. James chapter 4 and verse 4, it says, do not be a friend of the world. Yeah, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Yeah, it means that you are an enemy of God when you become friends with the world. Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Don't become friends with this world. Always have another mind and always have another world in view. As Christians, we should always be thinking about what's to come. Think about how someday you'll be in heaven. Think about eternity. Think about the next life that is coming. That is how you will be able to not be a friend of this world. When you know that your stay here is very temporary, then you will know. Some people live as if they'll be here forever. Mercy. Because they'll be shocked. Yeah, they'll be shocked. Many people live here as if they will be here forever. Like they have all the time in the world, live a long life. I mean, and don't get me wrong, everyone should pray and believe for a long life. We will all live to be 80, 90. We'll all see 90 years. Amen. But you have to also know that we won't be here forever. There's a cutoff date. There's a cutoff time. And thinking about that time, thinking about how there's an expiration date on me here on this earth is how you will have another world in you, is how you actually don't form a friendship and a relationship with this world. Amen. And then lastly, focus on God's coming kingdom. Yeah, similar to what I just said. Focus on God's coming kingdom. Keep heaven in mind. Keep eternity in mind. Think about eternity often. Think about heaven and hell often. Even if you have that mind, it'll change how you make so many decisions. Yeah, think about heaven and hell often. Yeah, think about eternity. Well, I'll give you a secret. One of the ways that I'm sure, you know, I think sometimes many of us as younger people, we struggle with our relationships with our parents. Yeah, it's like maybe we argue with our parents. Sometimes we yell at them. Sometimes we're too quick to go back to them. One of the ways to have a better relationship with our parents is if we were to think about their dying more. Like if we were to actually think about them passing away more often, it'll help how we view them. It'll help how we speak to them. It'll help how we even respect them in our eyes. It'll actually change that if we were to think about their eternity more. It'll help. It helped me. See, this thing I'm saying is something I've heard in a message before from Bishop Dagwood Mills. It's something he said. And I remember hearing it maybe when I was like 18, 17 is when I heard this message. And it really changed me and my parents. Really, it changed it because I would think about how I would feel. And then it would change certain reactions. It would change how I may respond to something because it was like, you know, these people, they're getting older and I may not have them forever. So certain things they tell me, let me respond to it differently. Let me respond to it in a certain way. And I want to encourage us to have another world in view, have heaven in view, and it will truly change how we make a lot of decisions. Yeah, if you have heaven and hell in view, you will serve God faster. You will become serious in the church faster. It won't take you 2 years from now before you decide that you want to join a ministry. It won't take you 2 years. By the way, today after church, anyone who is interested in joining a new ministry or wants to do something in church, please stick around after the grace dance. Don't be in a rush to get off. Anybody who wants to do anything in church, just stick around after the grace dance. So if you are here after the grace dance, I'm going to assume that means you want to do something in church and I'm going to find something for you to do. So if you are here after the grace dance, it means you want to become a church worker, and I believe it would be great. Amen. So lastly, how to improve our strength. Our strength is what we need to do all these things. We need strength to be faithful, to deny worldly lust, to not be a friend of the world. We need strength to overcome this world. How to improve our strength. Psalms 52 verse 6. Quickly as we close, Psalms 62 verse 6. The Bible says, and the righteous will see and fear. They will laugh at you saying, here now is the man who did not make God his stronghold, but trusted in his great wealth and grew strong by destroying others. Verse 8. But I am like an olive tree flourishing in the house of God. I trust in God's unfailing love forever and ever. The first way to improve our strength is make God our strength. Yeah, trust in God. Truly, don't just say it, but actually put your trust in him. No matter where your life is at today, no matter what difficulty, what challenge, what disappointments you have, what confusing situation you may find yourself in, trust in the Lord. Trust that God is going to have an answer for you. I see God trusting you. I see that God is going to take you to a new place. God is going to help you find an answer to whatever that confusing situation will be for you. Amen. The next way to improve your strength, receive counsel from God. Yeah, don't just receive counsel from your friends, but also receive counsel from God. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1. Receive counsel from God. God can speak to you. Yeah, when you pray, God can actually speak to you. When you talk with God, or God can put something in your heart. You know, I'm actually reading a book right now called The Art of Hearing. And I recommend everyone, I recommend that book by Bishop Dagwood Mills for everyone to read. It's talking about how you can hear the voice of God. It's actually telling, it's showing me different ways you can hear God's voice. One of the ways you can hear God's voice when we talk about receiving counsel from God is not necessarily an audible voice. That's one way. And I think a lot of times that's the first thing we think of. But you can actually also receive, hear the voice of God by when you have a certain level of assurance and peace. When you make a decision and you feel at peace with it, it's also a voice from God. Yeah, it's also hearing from God when you just hear the voice of God. When you hear like this peacefulness, it's like you've taken a decision and you don't feel nervous. You're not fearful about it. You're just sure about it. That's also the voice of God. Being sure in a decision is also the voice of God. Yeah. And I think that's why that book is a good book to read for anybody who maybe wants to find a book to read, The Art of Hearing by Bishop Dag Hayward-Mills. But so Isaiah chapter 30, verse 1, woe to the abstain children, declares the Lord, to those who carry out plans that are not mine. Yeah. To those who carry out plans that are not mine. That God is actually speaking and he's saying, woe to you who carry out plans that are not his, forming an alliance, but not by my spirit, heaping sin upon sin. Wow. When you are executing plans that are not of God, you are actually forming an alliance. Yeah. And heaping up sin upon sin. Because when you carry out plans that are not God's for your life, you're actually taking yourself into sin. You are carrying yourself gradually into sin because you will make so many mistakes along the way and you are heaping up sin upon sin. That's why I said that book, The Art of Hearing by Bishop Dag Hayward-Mills, it's a very important book to read because it'll explain to you that, you know, that taking a decision and feeling nervous, feeling a little skeptical, it's not really the voice of God. You're not really receiving counsel from God. And you can become strong by receiving counsel. Verse 2 and verse 3, I believe. Verse 2, who go down to Egypt without consulting me? Yeah, those of you who move without consulting God. Those of you who move around and you don't talk to God first. Who look for help for Pharaoh's protection, to Egypt's shade for refuge. Verse 3. But Pharaoh's protection will be to your shame. Yeah, Pharaoh is this world. When you read this, the Bible, and you see Pharaoh being talked about in this way, it's the world. So those of us who rely on the world as our protection, we rely on the world to protect us for our finances, for our work. It's like we think that we can keep our jobs because of the world. No, you keep your job because of God. You keep your job because that's God's plan for your life today, is that you have a job and you work at this place. Yeah, that's how you keep your job. You don't keep your job because of the world's protection. No. Yeah, Egypt's shade will bring you disgrace. Yeah, like leaning on the world, leaning on this world, leaning on this world for protection, for strength, it will all lead to disgrace. But trusting in God, receiving counsel from God, is how you become stronger. And then the last way to improve your strength, become strong by resting and waiting on God. Yeah, that's the last way to improve your strength, is by resting and waiting on God. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15, the Bible says, this is what the Lord, the Sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you would have none of it. Yeah, verse 16. You said, no, we will flee on horses. Therefore, you will flee. You said, we will ride off on swift horses. Therefore, your pursuers will be swift. Wow, verse 17. A thousand will flee at the threat of one, and the threat of five, you will flee away till you are left like a flagstaff on a mountaintop, like a banner on a hill. Like people will leave you. People will leave you because you are not with God. Verse 18. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. God wants to be gracious to you. Yeah, God wants to be gracious to us in First Love Church, Delaware. I see God being gracious to us. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. Therefore, he will rise up to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. Amen. As you wait on God, as you are waiting to hear from him, God will bless us. Yeah, the Bible says here that God wants to show you compassion. So, you know, if you've made some mistakes and maybe you've gone another direction in your life, you see, or maybe you've gone away from the grace of God, or maybe you haven't been waiting on God the way you should, right? The Bible is saying that God longs to be gracious to you. come back to God. If you've sinned, if you've gone away from him, if you've made some mistakes and you find it hard to pray, you find it hard to be spiritual, come back. Come back. He wants to be gracious to you. And I see God being gracious to you. I see God showing you compassion. You see, as you wait on God, as you hear from God, as you pray, as you try to be spiritual, I see God being gracious and giving you compassion. Amen. Let's take a few moments and pray. Pray for yourselves wherever you are. Pray that God himself will hear your voice, right? Pray that God himself will hear your voice this afternoon. Ask God to be compassionate for you. Ask God to show you compassion. You see, pray that God will give you compassion. Father, I lift up my voice and I come before you, God. Just pray for 2 minutes. Pray for 2 minutes that God will give you compassion and graciousness. Father, I come before you, Lord, and I pray that you will give us compassion, Lord. Give us compassion. Just come off of mute if you can. Come off of mute if you can and pray. Father God, we pray for compassion, God. Help us to overcome the world. Yes, God. Yes, God. Help us, oh God, to be full with goodness. Yes, God. Yes, God. Help us with your compassion, God. Help us to come back to you. Give us the grace to come back to you, Lord. I pray, God, that you will give us the grace to come back to you. Help us to come back, God. Help us to come back. May we come back, Lord. Lord, may we come back. Lord, help us to come back, oh God. Show us compassion and mercy, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Father God, I pray, God, that you will help us, oh God, to overcome this world. As we are here as Christians living in this world, as we are here as Christians taking decisions, living day-to-day life, help us, God, not to become a friend of the world. Help us, God, to improve our strength. Help us, God, to use our strength to overcome this world, God. Help us, God, to be found faithful. Help us, God, to become people who are not friends of the world. Help us to become people who deny the ungodliness and the worldly lusts that are in this world. Help us to be overcomers, God. Lord, your word says that anyone who is born of God overcomes the world. Lord, as we have been born of you, as we are born again, God, help us to overcome this world. Give us the strength that we need to overcome this world. Lord, our strength will determine our lives. Our strength will determine our futures. Our strength will determine our relationship with you. Help us to become stronger Christians. Help us not to grow tired. Help us not to grow weary. Lord, your word says that do not get tired of doing spiritual things. Help us not to get tired of prayer. Help us not to get tired of listening to messages, reading our Bible, reading Christian books. Help us not to get tired, God, as we are just beginning our walk with you. Help us not to get tired this early on, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Wow. Wonderful. Wonderful. It's been a blessing. So I believe we're all blessed. So at this time, actually, we've come to a fun part, a wonderful part of today's service. So before we have our Madam X come and give us our announcements, let's actually show the first graduate that we have. This is our graduation point in our service. So I believe at this point in time, we can actually show the graduates. If you are there and you are one of the graduates and you maybe want to come on video, I believe you have the background to you can. So each graduate will be projected onto the screen. Those of you who are here, you know, make some noise, come off of mute, show some excitement, make some noise. And we're going to have a wonderful time. So I believe we can show the first graduate on the screen. I'm going to read a little biography about them. And after we go through all the graduates, we'll pray at the end. Amen. So we can display the first person. Wow. So actually, let's hold off on the music. Maybe we can hold off on the music. Wow. So let's show Janice's picture. Let's show Janice's picture. I'll read a short bio. about Janice as we are celebrating our graduates. So this is Janice. For those of you who don't know her, this is a Janice. She's part of First Love Church Philly. So this is Janice Nashima Ashong. And you see the verse that she's put next to her picture there. It's a very beautiful verse. It says, Jeremiah 29, verse 11. The Bible says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Wow, beautiful. So a short bio about Janice. Janice has been playing basketball for 8 years. She's in the National Honor Society. In the fall, she'll be attending Thomas Jefferson University. And she'll be playing basketball there as well in their pre-med program. And she hopes, God willing, to become a pediatric oncologist in the future. Wow, beautiful. So our next graduate. Congrats, Janice. Next graduate, we have Rachel Okron. So Rachel is graduating from high school. She's a senior this year. She's graduating. In the fall, Rachel will be attending Widener University. And she'll be majoring in nursing in this fall at Widener. So Rachel is also a part of First Step Philadelphia as well. And then our last graduate, Elias Ansa. So Elias is new to the church. Elias is a part of First Love Church Delaware, actually. So Elias is a part of First Love Church Delaware. And you see the verse Elias has next to his picture. It says, this is Mark chapter 14 and verse 36. The Bible says, "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you." Yeah, all the graduates should know this. Everything is possible for you. Everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. Yeah, it's a very nice scripture. But a short bio about Elias. So Elias is graduating from Newark Charter High School in Delaware. In the fall, he will be attending the University of Delaware. Currently, he is undecided in his major. But he prays that God will lead him down the right path and to the major that is best for him. Wow, beautiful. Amen. Amen. So at this time, let's all take a few moments, say a word of prayer for our graduates, if you can. Just bow your head, close your eyes, and say a word of prayer for all of our graduates. Father, I thank you for these three graduates who are graduating from high school. Lord, I pray that as they are beginning college in the fall, such a big next step, such a big next phase of their life, Lord, I pray that you will keep them, that you will guide them, God. Help them to make the right decisions in college. Help them to meet the right people, God. Help them, oh God. Many people backslide in college. Many people fall away from Christ. But as these ones have come before you, God, as these ones have verses that they want to acknowledge you, as they are graduating and they are acknowledging you, as Janice knows that, you know, God, that you have plans of a hope and plans of a future for her, as Elias knows, Lord, that everything is possible for him, God, but he wants your will to be done in his life, God. As these ones are acknowledging you and acknowledging you in their life and you in this accomplishment, God, keep your hand over them these next 4 years. Help them to make the right decisions. Help them to stay close to you. Help them to meet the right people, Father. We thank you for keeping them up to this point, and we pray, Lord, that you will keep them in the next phase and in the next season of their life. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Beautiful. So at this time, let's make some noise and welcome our Madam X.
Amen. Woo. All right.
All right.
All right.
All right. Right.
As for bowing.
We will bow.
As for bowing.
We will bow.
About too late.
Is about.
About ending.
Powerful. Everyone, now congratulations for graduating high school. And I'm excited to see you all in the fall. And first things first, please join us for implication service with Bishop Henry this Tuesday at 8 p.m. I hope to see you all there. And our First Love Philly Center meeting this week at Wednesday at 8 p.m. And also, please subscribe to our very own prophet, Bishop Dag Heard Mills, on Apple Podcasts and Spotify by searching Dag Heard Mills in the search bar, as well as our own podcast. You can listen to today's message on podcast by searching First Love Delaware. in the search bar on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts. Amen. And we have a new ministry alert. We are starting a new ministry called Flow Flashback Stars, and we are looking for more people to give a summary each Sunday about the message from Flow Unity Service. So contact Elder Dylan for more information about that. Also, anyone who would like to join a new ministry in church should stay after the grace dance so we can give you a job in the church. It's going to be a blessing to hope you all are able to stay so we can get a new job for you guys. So if we're able to, let's share the grace and let's just all get ready for the grace dance. Amen.
Amen.
And now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion, the fellowship, the contribution, the participation of the Holy Spirit,
the 20,000 children of God, all the important people in my life, the first love of the Spirit of power, of love, and sound mind. Be with us now and forevermore. Amen. We are called, but the youth are chosen.
Amen.
Now for the great man.
Time for the grace dance. Like I said, you know, anyone.